Well, good evening, church. Glad you could be here at the Thomas Village Baptist Church on a beautiful Wednesday evening. Glad you took the time out to be in the Lord's house. And there's no better place to be, I think. And welcome to all those out there in Facebook land. And if you're out there in the parking lot, if you got a hymnal at the house or a hymnal here, grab one. We're going to go to number 524. This may be a new one to some. It was a new one to me. We're marching to Zion, 524.
That's old staple in the churches that I was raised in. That one was one of them. Good evening, y'all. It's good to see you. Tonight is our prayer service, but I want you to look over in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and then also 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I want us to look at them, and I want to tell all of you that may be watching by Facebook tonight, or you're listening over the radio, or you're in-house with us, it's good to be with you. I'm thankful for our midweek services. I love our Sunday services. I love our Sunday morning services, and they're special, but there's something about Sunday nights and Wednesday nights that's just it's more of a close-knit family-type gathering. But do we have any words of praise or testimony before we go into our study and our prayer time tonight? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's always good to have a clean house. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Does anybody got a pen I can borrow? Mine quit writing. Mine don't want to write. Or a pencil. I was that guy in school, you know. Anybody else got a word of praise or testimony? Good deal. Good deal. God is good. Amen. Anybody else word of praise or testimony? I talked with Brother Gary Bledsoe this morning, and Sister Betty is coming along as could be expected. The surgeon, I think they went yesterday, and the surgeon said that all of the cutting and all that looked fine, but that there'll be some, it's still a little bit more pain. She's not hurting bad, and she is up walking, still on the walker. But as far as Brother Gary could tell, that everything was going well. I also talked to Sister Nancy this morning, and this is a slow week. Praise the Lord for that, that they're not having to go to all the different doctors and all, but Brother Leonard is run down and just not been feeling great, so we want to continue to pray for him there. But praise God that they're being able to rest this week, and just continue to pray for Sister Nancy. She says kind of sometimes it's just kind of like you're on the outside looking in at your life. Things are just happening and you really have no control or say or anything like that. You just have to go with it. And so we want to pray for that. Any other words of praise or testimony tonight? Yes, Brother Jeff. Amen. 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 I was thinking yesterday how scary it would be to wake up and know you didn't have the Lord. Especially after you've experienced Him. You know, and you know Him and you've had a relationship, and then to wake up one day and not know Him. I mean, my goodness. I would just be terrible. I mean, it would just be life-ending type terrible, you know. But thank God He says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And He also said He's not going to let us leave Him. To God be the glory, that nothing can take us out of His Father's hand. And we give God praise for that. Anyone else, word of praise or testimony? We will have our go through a time of prayer list, but before we do, I want us to look at our scripture for tonight. Yes, Sister Fleeta? Wow. It's amazing, especially in that short of time that it's been. Amen. Since Saturday. See, that's what Jared said Sunday, is that he believed that this had been going on way, you know, at least a week or so before the baby was born, you know. But we're thankful that God answers, and He is the great physician. That's why no matter the diagnosis from earthly MD, nothing can happen until the great physician says it's going to happen. So we need to encourage others not to lose their fight or their faith, you know, because God still, if God be for us, who can be against us, you know? Anything else? All right, look here in the book. God blessed me Monday night. I was able to preach over in Lee County. And Monday, the Lord put this on my heart, and I've preached from it before there in the book of Acts. We'll pick up in verse 23 there of Acts chapter 4. And I've preached it before, but God really put it on my heart, and you may hear the sermon Sunday morning. But notice right there in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 23, it says, "After they were released," that "they" is Peter and John, "after they were released, they went to their own people," or basically they went to their church family, "and reported everything that the chief priests and the elders had done and said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together to God and said, 'Master, you are the one who made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them.'" Now jump down to verse 27. "For in fact," this continues, this is a part of their prayer. "For in fact, in this city, both Herod, Pilate, and the Gentiles, along with the people of Israel, assembled together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed, to do whatever you had your hand and your will had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, consider their threats, and grant that your servants may speak your word with boldness, while you stretch out your hands for healing and signs and wonders and performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly." Now you can flip over there to 2 Chronicles 7:14, but kind of catch you up on what's going on here. Pentecost has come. Peter preached, and we know there was about 3,000 that got saved there on the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, thereabouts. So it's only been about 2 months since Christ has died. And so they've had that big move. I mean, no longer is it just the 12 and a few more, maybe up to 500 that are believing, but you've got there in Jerusalem now a great number that are believing on Jesus Christ. And so they go to the, back in chapter 3, if you remember, they're going to the temple, and they come to the gate, which is called Beautiful. Do you remember why they were going to the temple? To pray. That's a part, a mark of a follower of Jesus Christ, is that we are a people who pray. Bottom line, that's what we're to be known as. But when they went there, you remember, they met the man who was lame from birth, and he was wanting money, and Peter said to him, "I ain't got no money, but what I do have, I give to you." He says, "Rise in the name of Jesus Christ and walk." And the man that was over 40 years from birth, he had been unable to walk. His legs were probably, you know, just about the size of a bone. And the amazing thing is, you know that those muscles had to form, that the tendons in the legs had to strengthen up. And so in that moment, all that is happening, and that man stands up, and Peter helps him up, and he begins to jump, and he begins to run, and he begins to shout. And so everybody that was going to their time of prayer, because it was a regular scheduled time of prayer, they began to watch, and they gathered around. And Peter, like a good preacher, said, "Hey, I got a crowd, I might as well preach." And so he starts preaching. Well, the same people that arrested Jesus Christ and killed Jesus Christ, the Sanhedrin, and Ananias, the chief priest, they arrested Peter and John, and probably would have killed them had it not been for the growth that had happened in those 2 months there. And they told them, basically, "We don't want you saying anything in the name of Jesus. We don't want you preaching, healing, doing anything." And over in Acts chapter 4, around verse 20, it says, "Well, whether it be right in the eyes of God to listen to you or not, we cannot help but declare what we have seen and what we have heard of Jesus Christ." They says, "Hey, I've seen too much of Jesus. I've experienced too much with Jesus. I can't stop talking about his truth. I can't stop talking about what he's done." But basically it says that they breathe threatenings, and that was a promise of harm, a promise of injury. And so when they leave there, they go back to their church family. And I think in the King James it says that there was a multitude that was there. And they don't pray that the Sanhedrin get voted out and new ones get voted in. They don't pray that anything drastic happen. They pray and they ask God to give us boldness to speak the truth. And folks, you think about where we're at right now in America. The most perverted and the most ungodly unhuman actions are being put out there like it's normal. And they'll talk about it, and they'll talk about all this transgender stuff and all this other mess, and they expect us to be quiet. And praise God, I think we need to be praying that God give us holy boldness in our speech. Not resentful, not anger, but that we'll be mindful to speak the Word of God. And you know it wasn't easy for them, because they were being watched. Peter's going to be arrested again. Peter's going to be arrested again. But I want you to think about, in these spots, what happens? What were they doing before the day of Pentecost? It said after Jesus left, they went into an upper room, and what did they do? They prayed. And right here, before we see a great move of the Holy Spirit, before they become filled with the Holy Spirit, before the place is shaken, or they begin to preach with power and give witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what were they doing? They prayed. When you go all the way over to chapter 12, when Peter gets arrested again, and remember, the angel comes in there this time and unlocks the shackles and unlocks the prison bars. And at the same time, at John Mark's house, the church was praying. And you remember what happened when he come to knock on the door? The servant come to the door and saw that it was Peter and went back in there to tell the folks. And what did they say? You're crazy. You're crazy. They were praying something, but yet it showed that they really didn't expect it to be answered, and they expected to be answered in their way and not anything else. Let's see, think about over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7:14. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and what? Pray. And seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their lands. Now let me ask you this. Do you think the prayer that he's talking about there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7:14, the praying that we see there in the book of Acts chapter 1 before the day of Pentecost, the praying that we see here in Acts chapter 4 where we see that the Holy Spirit blows through there and shakes them up, and then if you go to chapter 12 and you see the prayers that's going on there, do you think it's the type of prayer we pray around the church on Sundays and Wednesdays? You think it's a minute to 3 minutes prayers before we do something or we sing something? Is it a 30 to 45 second prayer at the end of a service, and then we break down and we go out? You think that's all that praying was? No. These people, what we see in powerful moves in the Old Testament and New Testament is that a people were committed to praying, and not only by themselves, but they were committed to praying with one another until something happened. Think about the Muslims today. Even today, three times a day, they get their mats out and get down on their knees and they face whatever direction they do, and they're committed to prayer. And I've just been convicted that we need to be praying. I think we need to start having cottage prayer meetings in the home again. But if we really want to see God move, he's told us how to see the move. He says, if you pray, if you'll be committed to praying, then you'll see some things happening. Amen? So we've got to ask ourselves, do we really want to see a move of God? Because if we do, then prayer is going to have to happen. If you look over there in the book of Luke, chapter 18, you remember it says that Jesus tells a parable, and the point of that parable is this, that men ought always to pray, that we don't need to give up in our prayers, right? And then he tells the parable of the persistent widow. You remember her? The one that just kept going to the unrighteous king, going to the unrighteous king, going to the unrighteous king. And finally the king was like, well, my goodness, it's not that I really respect her or care about what she wants, but I'm just tired of her coming and bugging me every day. And he gave her what she asked for. And then after Jesus tells the parable, he gets to the end. And he says this, I think it's in verse 11 there. He says this, but when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? You know what it says? Is it verse 8? When the Son of Man returns, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith? And notice what he's doing. The parable's about prayer. But he ends by talking about faith. He ties our faith and our prayer life together. The more faith we have, the more committed to prayer we're going to be. Because we believe that God hears our prayers and answers our prayers. But if we lacking in faith, then our prayer life is going to lack. That's just the bottom line. And the Lord's really got on to me about it this week, so I'm just passing it on down the line a little bit, okay? So tonight I do want us to have our prayer meeting, our time where we just specifically come to pray for things. And we'll go through them. But before we do, I want to go through our prayer list. Mr. Leonard and Sister Nancy Roden, Brother Danny and Sister Sherry, Sister Molly Edwards, Diane Anderson, Brother Roy and Sister Phyllis, Melba Bishop, Teresa Stanley, Eddie and Bishop, Michelle Bishop, Ethan Bowen, Sister Moselle, Sister Jeanette Carter, Sister Peggy DeBoard, Sister Lottie Johnson, Sister Wilma Daniels, Jesse Bull, Pam Savarsky, Wilma Williams, Burl Haas, Teresa Cobb, Daniel and Erica Boyer, Amanda Campbell, David and Gerald Cantrell, Gail Collins, Steve Neff, Jewel Drodery, Sue Dixon, Audrey Irving, the Say family, June Fannin, Ann Graham, Marvin Graham, Sally Grebe, Brittany Grindstaff, Cindy Osborne, Vicki Haley, Tom Hendricks, Noah Hensley, Melanie Lester, Sister Willis, Richard Priestman, Rick Sawyers, Unspoken, the Shut-Ins, those that's been touched by natural disasters, Krista and Emily and Gracie, Curtis Henderson, Linda Phillips, Dale Taylor and Miranda, Junior Hill, Jonathan Surfey, Dwight Hubbard, Kathy Kines, Glenda Sturgill, Gail Collins, Ed Piercy, Robert Vaughn, Nathaniel Wells, Rick and Lisa Tipton, Miguel Santos, and then also we've got many that are lost and backslidden. Our list on Thursdays is over 150, and praise report there. We had 7 yesterday in our prayer meeting, so to God be the glory for that. We give you praise for that. But are there any other prayer needs that we need to add tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Any others I need to take off or add to? Nolan? Any other ones? Dean? Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Maddie, she's been in for the past couple of days. Amy went and picked her up the other night and took her back this morning. Just something going around, fever, coughing, sore throat, all that. And, you know, they didn't diagnose it. They just gave her medicine, so. In the morning. All right, anyone else? Lucy. We will. So, Sherry, did I hear you say one? Amen. That's the one that Jesus said he came to find. He came to find the lost and those that are sick. Anyone else? Are they? I tell you what, that cancer is something else now. It's evil. Anyone else? All right, well, you know, we usually pray for specific things, such as the lost, and then we pray for those that are their physical, emotional, and different needs like that, and then we pray that we'll be a soul-winning church. Then we pray for our specific ministries, such as Sunday School, Awana, our seniors, WOM, Vacation Bible School, the Sowing Bees, College and Career, Hope Ministries, Church Council, our youth. And then pray for the deacons and the pastor along with others. Then we pray for the binding and loosening, that the power of God be loosed and the enemy be bound, if nothing else, here at Thomas Village Baptist Church. And then we'll close out in a word of prayer. So tonight, instead of having you come up here, how about I just call on you and you pray where you're at over that specific thing. Does that sound good to y'all tonight? Now, if you do feel the need or the urging to come forward, the altar is always open, and I tell you, there's not a better place to be found than on the altar. But are there any other prayer needs tonight as we just go into our hearts and our minds as we move into a place of prayer? Is there anything else we need to put on here? And let's do pray for revival. I don't think we're going to see an awakening until we see the churches revived. And before we see a great move of salvation, we're going to need to see some restoration in the body of Christ. Anything else before we go to the Lord in prayer? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I do come to you tonight. And Lord, I first off just confess to you my sins, my shortcomings. Heavenly Father, Lord, knowing that there is nothing about me that could qualify or bring me into your presence other than the fact that you have drawn me to yourself. And I'm thankful, Lord, that salvation is all about you. Nothing has to do with me. Lord, I didn't call myself. I didn't cleanse myself. And I'm not keeping myself. It's all because of Jesus. And Lord, it's in that wonderful and precious name of Jesus that we come to you tonight, thanking you, Lord, that you are the one that can not only just save our souls and to keep us for all eternity, but even the physical needs that we're facing right now, the financial needs, Lord, the emotional needs. And Lord, as I think of families tonight, Heavenly Father, Lord, that the devil's trying to tear apart, God, I lift them up to you tonight. But God, I thank you that you mean so much to me. I'm thankful, Lord, that it does scare me to think that if I was to lose you, what would happen. But God, I'm thankful, Lord, that you said you'll never, never cast me away. And Lord, you'll never bring up my sins against me. And Lord, tonight that you have kept me up to this point, and Lord, that even to this point, I don't even understand all the goodness and all the blessings you've poured out upon me. I don't have any clue what is left ahead of me, Lord, that you have, not only on this side, but when we get to glory. I thank you for the promise of a new body. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that there'll be the promise that there'll be a day of no more sin, no more pain, no more sorrow. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that there's coming a day, Heavenly Father, Lord, that this of this body I'll know as I am known. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'll spend an eternity with you. God, I'm thankful for the love and the value that you've placed on my life, knowing, Heavenly Father, Lord, that as I read today in Ecclesiastes, are but beasts, Lord. We as human beings without Christ, we are just like beasts of the field. And so, God, tonight we come to you tonight with grateful and thankful hearts, knowing, Lord, that if God be for us, then who can be against us? And, Lord, that we are more than conquerors because you have made us more than conquerors. And so tonight, God, we come before you praising who you are, what you're doing. Heavenly Father, Lord, for the blessings that we know about, for the unseen blessings, as we've heard about Sister Ashley tonight and what's going on with her, and that you've given doctors wisdom there, and Brother Wayne, how they've already been pulling the fluids off of him and getting his sugar worked out right. And God, there's just so many things, and in so many ways you've blessed us. And God, we come before you thanking you for the prayers you've already answered. Lord, let us be mindful to always come back and say thank you for all that you've done. But tonight we're coming before you and we're bringing more needs to you tonight, and it's in Jesus' name. Brother Otis, would you pray for the lost and the backslidden tonight? Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. No man comes unless called by the Father. Yes, Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yes, Lord. It's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes, Jesus.
Keep us steadfast in what you promised in your commandments and your teaching.
Yes, Lord. Brother Wayne Bledsoe, would you pray over the needs and the names that we've lifted up tonight, physical and all that's going on there? Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, for your glory, for your name. Brother Keith Roach, would you pray that we be a soul winning church for a and have a burden for lost souls, okay? Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Let us be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Yes. Brother Ken Flannery, would you pray for all our different ministries that we have here at Thomas Village? Yes, Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Yes, Lord.
Many ministries exist through you.
Yes. Jesus.
Like every remembrance.
Yes.
Children. Future of this church.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for them.
Women that take
their time and skill.
Yes, Jesus.
Gather together, lift their voices up in song. Sunday morning, and learn valuable lessons. And ministry. Team out.
Brother Johnny Black, would you pray for the pastor and the deacons and all of our leadership here at Thomas Village? Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you. Brother Paul, would you pray that God loosen everything that needs to be loosened here at Thomas Village and that he bind up anything that needs to be bound up? Yes, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, selfish, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, brother. Now I just want to open it up to anybody else that feels like you just want to lift up a word of prayer, maybe a word of praise, whatever the Lord has on your heart. Don't let the devil rob you of a blessing. Heavenly Father, Lord, I am thankful that you've given us the privilege of prayer. And Lord, as you tell us in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 10, that we can come boldly into the holiest of places, that we can come before your throne. And Lord, that you lift us up in the heavenly realms. And God, that you give us your ear. How awesome is it to know tonight, Lord, that not only will you listen to us, but Lord, you expect to hear from us. And that as a good father listens to a child and enjoys hearing their children, Lord, the same way, our Heavenly Father, Lord, listens to us, turns an ear to us, enjoys hearing our needs and how much we value you and how much we thank you for all that you do. But God, also I come before you tonight with a burden on my heart as I look across our country now. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we are a modern day Sodom. And Heavenly Father, Lord, that we're sexualizing the children in this nation. There's lies being told to us from the seats of authority. There's demonic plans and schemes that are clearly of the devil. And so, God, tonight we may just be a small church here at the end of the Point of Virginia, but God, we just reject anything that the devil is presenting. We pray security over our children. We pray, God, that you give them ears to hear and the hearts to receive. Give them the consciousness and the understanding of the Holy Ghost so that when they hear these lies, Lord, that they'll be able to reject them. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you give us holy boldness. God, that we'll be able to stand true and firm and in love. Lord, declare, thus says the Lord. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful that you have promised that not one dot or one tittle will pass away, that your word will stand true forever and ever. And Lord, that we who are in Christ Jesus, we can stand firm on your word and we can take it for truth. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we don't have to go by a feeling or we don't have to go by man's understanding, but God, we have the truth of all eternity. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful tonight that you have given us the Bible. And in the Bible, we can study and know more about you. I'm thankful for the person of the Holy Spirit that lives within me and every individual that knows you, Lord, that brings that life and that guidance. I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you tell me Jesus lives in my heart tonight, that I have Christ himself living with me. Lord, I'm thankful today, Lord, that you say if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. I praise you that I've been fearfully and wonderfully made, God. I'm thankful that you've been able, that we've seen this, the Roe versus Wade thing turned around, and God, that there seems to be an acknowledgement of the value and the preciousness of life. And I pray for those that are considering abortion right now, and I pray for those, Lord, that's already went through it, that you just love on them and let them know, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you still want to save them, and you still, Heavenly Father, Lord, want to give them life abundant. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray over marriages tonight as the devil is trying to do his best to tear marriages apart. Even good, godly, strong-looking marriages from the outside, the old enemy's got in there and he's trying to put a wedge between the husband and the wife or the children and their parents. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray over them tonight. God, I pray over the government right now as we're looking forward to an election. And I don't pray for Democrat nor Republican. Lord, I pray that godly people be put in positions of power so that this nation will come back to know that Jesus Christ is our only hope and that we'll once again be one nation under God. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, for our schools around us. Lord, I pray for the teachers, for the nurses, for the bus drivers, for those that's working in the cafeterias, those that's doing the maintenance, Lord, that you just give them the power of the Holy Spirit on them, Lord, and let them speak the words to the children that they need, because we don't know what a child may be going through on any given day. But God, I praise your name that at any moment you're going to come back and you're going to call us home, Heavenly Father, Lord, and there we'll be with you forever. And the only reason we ask you to stay your hand tonight is we have loved ones and friends that don't know you. And I pray today that the day will be the day of their salvation. God, I pray that some word that's been spoken, a song that they've heard as a child, Lord, may it be a leaflet they find in a bathroom somewhere, Lord, that it'll do what it's meant to do, and that is to draw people to salvation. So God, I thank you for this church. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for the commitment that the men and women of this church have. And I pray, God, that you just continue to give us a vision for the future. Heavenly Father, Lord, let us follow through. Let us be so close to you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we can almost like we can hear you speaking audibly when you tell us to do this or to do that. But Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. And you know all these needs, and we lay them in your hands. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless y'all.